Today, we begin our sermon series on church membership matters. This morning, we're going to spend time in Ephesians chapter 4, looking at the biblical understanding of the role of the leadership and the role of the membership and why membership matters. In our Old Testament lesson, we saw that you are a chosen nation to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And what do? Priests pray for others, and priests share the message with others. So our responsibility as members of the church are to be in prayer and to share the message of the gospel. So this morning, let's look at the gifts of leadership this morning. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors and teachers. Leadership and followership are important in any organization, and especially in the church. The head of this church is Christ Jesus. We on earth are here to represent Jesus to our world, to our community. And God has created servants of leadership as apostles, sent ones, prophets who proclaim the word, evangelists who witness the gospel, and pastors and teachers who shepherd and teach. So this is our role, if you will, as leaders in the church. And the leaders are the pastors, the staff, the board of directors and the board of elders, and other assigned people in leadership. Now, with leadership, there has to have a followership. And so we have to recognize that when you were a kid and you played a sport or whatever it was, maybe you had two teams, and so you had two captains, and then they had to pick somebody to be on their team. So, you know, when I was a kid, I was good in sports, so I got picked first or second. I mean, that was kind of nice. But I always knew that the girl would be picked last, because that's what happened with girls. They weren't as good as throwing baseballs or hitting baseballs. And I was talking about playing baseball. Now, that doesn't mean that girls are inferior. It just meant that they didn't have the same skills as boys did at my age playing baseball. So I always felt pretty good because I got to be chosen close to the top. Now, God has chosen each and every one of us to be on his team. So let's just imagine today is that the Dallas Cowboys are playing and they have no playbook. Okay, so what does a huddle look like? Okay, well, hey, I'm just going to run this way and I'm going to do this and I might block, I might not. And Zeke, and you can figure it out if there's a hole there or not. You just figure it out. We'll give you the football. Do what you want. Is that how it works? It doesn't work that way, right? They got a playbook, and they got leadership and followership. And so it is the same way in the church. We have to be on mission, understanding our role, is that if we all work together, there's a lot more than we can accomplish than not working together. So let's look today at gifts of leaders and members working together. So there's equipping, there is works of service, and there's the body of Christ, all to be built up. So when we look at these three, we want to unpack them. Is equipping is the role of the pastor, the staff, and the leadership of the church. So we are here to give you the playbook, to give you the plays, and to rehearse how do we work the plays so that we can be successful on sharing the gospel message of Jesus Christ with our community. Secondly, works of service. These are the plays. This is what we do is we work in our community to serve as members in our community. And the building up of the body is the combination of the pastors, the staff, the membership, and the work of the Holy Spirit. Is that this church has not reached its potential. Would you agree with that? Okay. Today we want to talk about a direction. We want to talk about a plan where we all can begin the process of seeing and working together. And if you don't know where you fit, we have an email that you can go to or you can call the church office. We'll tell you. So it's kind of like this old joke. The new pastor got there, and he went to the nursing home, and he went to visit one of the shut-ins, and he said, do you know who I am? And the lady in the room said, no, but if you go to the desk, they'll tell you. So the whole process is today, we're here to tell you where you fit. You fit in the very body of Jesus Christ, and we are called to serve together on mission of bringing people the good and great news of Jesus as Lord and Savior. So in the early church, in Acts chapter 6, the disciples realized that the Grecian widows were not being taken care of. So it became a big issue, 7,000 member church, and so the Hebrew widows were being taken care of, but not the Grecian widows. So they called the church together, first voters meeting, and God bless them. They already had a plan, and they asked, bless this plan. Let's get seven guys full of the Holy Spirit, and they'll take care of this. And our role as the pastors, the leaders, is to be in prayer and to be in the Word. Everybody thought, hey, that's a workable plan. Let's do it. So when we look at this, is that they had a plan, and they worked it out. So the question I have for you today, do we teach our kids to be lazy? Or do we give them responsibilities? Just go back in your childhood. Do you have to work harder as a child in your day than the children of today? Are our kids spoiled? Okay, so could it be the issue that we say that could the church be lazy because we haven't asked you to do certain things? You know, you think your role is to come and sit, right? And you're very good at it. But is there more than just coming and sitting? Yes. And so the issue with the church is we haven't expected enough from you. We haven't equipped you to do the works of service. So today, as we talk about membership, we want to talk about expectations of the members at Peace Lutheran Church. The goal of the Holy Spirit working through the Word of God. Okay, so until we reach unity of faith, maturity, and fullness in Christ. So when we talk about, first of all, we talk about unity, is that you got to be in the Word. If you're not in the Word, how do we unify the body? Unity is basically Word-driven through the power of the Holy Spirit, and maturity is each member getting into the Word. So if I wanted all of you to get in the Word at 8 o'clock on Monday morning, I would come to your house, knock on the door, and you would have coffee ready and say, hey, Pastor, let's open the Bible. That's not going to happen because I can't do it. I can be in one place at one time. So maybe Pastor Morgan and I, we both team up, and we hit two houses, you know, every day of the week. Okay, that's going to take us a long time to get through the church membership, right? Okay, so the whole thing is that you have to open the Bible yourselves. You're big people, you're adults. So an expectation would be that you would open the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit would speak to you to share God's love with your family, your friends, your neighbors, and your community. Maturity is basically as the Holy Spirit works on your heart and your lives, you become much more mature in the faith. You recognize my role is just not about serving myself, but my role is to serve others. So as a parent, you get it, is that you got to take care of your kids. As a grandparent, you recognize is that kids are spoiled, but I spoil them anyway. And that's the job of a grandparent, right? Spoil the kids, okay? So the whole thing is that we work together as a church, as a body, to bring the gospel message of love of Jesus Christ to our community. And being in the fullness of Christ is the ability to say, my cross is very simple, to love God and to love my neighbor. And how do I love my neighbor? By telling him about the suffering of Jesus. His life, his death, and his resurrection. Well, the goal of the Holy Spirit through the Word, we already talked about that, right? Yep. Okay, so let's look at your handout today. You have this? Okay? So look at the side of intentional discipleship. This is what we expect from you as a member of Peace Lutheran Church. Okay? It's intentional discipleship. You can't do it alone, so we're going to encourage that you will be in a small group. And here's three kinds of small groups at Peace Lutheran Church. It's program groups, so WOW would be, Women of the Word would be a group. Okay, so if you belong to that, that would be your small group. The second kind of small group, well, POM would be one. I mean, so you can talk about all the program ministries we have. Secondly, are the existing small groups that we have, and we call them legacy groups. And basically, however they meet, but what we have asked them to do is add this to their small groups, is once a quarter, go out and do a community event, whatever that may look like. There are dollars that we can get from Thrivent, and don't forget we have a Thrivent meal today, so if you're a Thrivent member, please come to the meal. If you are not a Thrivent member, you are invited to come and learn about how we can go in our community. Thrivent will give us money to do a lot of mission work where we can touch the lives of people. So that's a benefit. The third kind of groups we're having is called Activate groups. And these are the groups that will meet like a semester, just like on in a college. And so 12 weeks in a row, a group will meet, and that's how you develop relationships if you meet for 12 weeks in a row. If you meet monthly and you miss a month, you haven't seen people for 2 months. So the whole role is let's meet together, do things together, grow together, and serve together. Growing people change in 2 Corinthians, and this is our stewardship part, is that these people urgently pleaded for the privilege of sharing in the service of the Lord's people. And when we give, we celebrate, we share God's love, we also share from our financial blessings because it does take money to make this church work. And that's the salaries for the staff, that's the lights, the air conditioning, all the other amenities that we have. But also there's a budget that goes out further than this church, and that takes each and every one of us making a contribution. So let's just use this as an example, okay? Could whatever I give a month, would that support this church? Could they keep the lights on? Okay, so me as one family, I couldn't do that. But we, as many families, we can do this plus other things. And so it's a we, not a me. Save people, serve. Okay, so the whole thing is that we're just unworthy servants doing our duty. Our duty is not because we are so gifted, we are so great. It's about how great our Lord and Savior is. And he's the one who died so that we might be out there sharing his love. Found people, find people. So this is, once again, is you are going out and sharing God's love, and worship is a lifestyle. So if you ever want to know what's expected of you as a church member, it's on this side of this piece of paper. You are expected to be in some kind of ministry. You are expected to grow. You are expected to serve. You're expected to go out and find people and give them an invitation. And worship is a lifestyle. So we're going to make a goal that our membership would give away 5,000 invitations between now and the end of June. 5,000. Now, is that doable? So here's the math, okay? If I think that there's 350 people that are confirmed and older, and I divide that into 5,000, that's 1.66 invitations a month. Could you do 1.66 invitations a month? You could do that, right? Okay? So we haven't talked about this as staff, but maybe the staff might do 500. So we have to divide how many staff people there are. Let's say there's 10 or 11. That means each of us gets 50. Okay, can we do it? Absolutely. There are things that we can do if we just set our mind to it and we begin to measure it, because it's important to God and it's important to his church. So flip it over to the discipleship paths, and here's how it works. So let's start with worship. We're in worship today. This is a lifestyle. We expect you to be here in church on Sunday, as many Sundays as possible. We expect you to pray in between services for the church, for people, whatever God puts on your heart. We expect you to be in some kind of small group ministry. It would be a men's group, a women's group, a small group, whatever it would be, is that we would highly encourage you is to be grouped so that we can do ministry. And in these groups, we can go out in the community. We'll get T-shirts that say Peace Lutheran Church. So when we go out in the community, we're advertising what Peace Lutheran Church is that we're sharing God's love through some kind of service project. Growing people, change. So Bible classes and generous living. Generous living is saying, I'm here to serve, okay? I'm not here to be served, but I am here to serve. Save people, serve people. So servanthood has to be part of the DNA of this church. It has to be your DNA, is that I am willing to serve Jesus Christ because he served me. I am willing to reach out into our community, and I'm willing to support mission work and even maybe go on missions at times. And I would invite you, if you want to go on a foreign mission and sleep in your own bed at night, go to the Lutheran Student Center at UTA in Arlington, okay? You, on Friday nights, you can meet as many people as you ever thought you could meet from Pakistan, Bangladesh, and India, okay? They're there. There's about 200 students there on a Friday night, okay? If you want to serve, there's a great place to be on foreign missions and go back home and sleep. And invite others, okay, that's the whole concept. Invest and invite. Baptism is in our membership. And understand, this is how it all works. So if you don't know where you fit, at the bottom is an email, okay? If you don't have email, call the church office. We'll tell you where you fit. Okay, you got it? Okay, so we are just unworthy servants doing our duty. So here's the illustration today to show you that it takes all of us working together. So, do you think I can carry this canoe and put it down in the aisle by myself? What do you think? Can't, can I? I can't pick up the other end. So, Pastor Morgan, maybe you can come and help me. Because, look, he's stronger than I am. He's younger. I mean, lots of strength here. So let's see what we can do. Oh, look at that. One hand. I mean, look at how strong he is. Okay? But, Pastor, I can't. No. I got to set it down. I'm old, man. I can't do this. So, Pastor, if we would ask others to come and help us, would it be easier to carry this down? Probably. So can we get some volunteers to come down and help us carry this canoe? We're going to put it right down in the aisle right there. Okay? Now, do you think they all can carry this canoe together? What do you think? Yeah, okay. Will it be easier for them to do it than just Pastor Morgan and myself? So here's the canoe principle. If we do it together, we can do a lot more things. Does that make sense to you guys? Okay, so we're going to carry it. You got to pick it up over the altar rail. Okay, so watch yourselves. Man, we got some husky guys up there. Okay, so I'm going to invite youth on the way back, because we're going to put it down, and we're going to need new volunteers to carry it back. So do we have any youth who feel real strong today? Huh? We got any youth that feel, come on up. Okay, just stick it right down there. Okay, thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Now we're going to get other people to carry it back, because we want to show you the principle is that if we all work together and we ask others in the church to help, we can all do it together. Look at this. Look at that. Look at that, man. Look at that. Well, one finger, okay. Is this not awesome? Okay. You begin to understand how it works, right? Thank you, thank you, thank you. Man, this is awesome. There we go. Thank you guys for that. Do you see that we're all valuable to God, each and every one of us? And you may not remember what we talked about today, but you remember there was a canoe here. Okay, and you remember it was carried up and carried back. And the whole illustration of why is if we work together. So you understand is that Pastor Morgan and I, we could carry it down there, but that would be a lot of work, okay? But we got helpers to come, and what did we do? We supervised because we're leadership. That, you laugh. That's how it works. Because what did we just trained 8 or 10 guys to do what we could do already, okay? So then these guys got other people, and they got trained to do the same thing, okay? So it's a training process. And the more that we raise up leaders, the more that we can do, because leaders will find followers. That makes sense to everybody? Okay, so this church can grow. Okay, in a few weeks, you will see invitations that you are encouraged to hand out. We want this church to be the church that Jesus Christ has called it to be, is to love people. And a way to love people is to look at the pew that you're in. Who's not there today? Who's not there in your pew today? If you know who they are, your responsibility as a member is to call, text, email, whatever it is, and let them know that they're missed. Because if we don't contact the people who are not in the pew today, they will say, this church doesn't care. Does that make sense? And if you are not willing to call, text, or email people who are not here, that says they're not important to me and they're not important to God. But everyone's important to God because of the cross. We're all important, and we have to see it, is that people matter. You matter. God matters, and he wants all of us to love one another as we have been loved. So I want to encourage you, intentionally see what a disciple is, you saw that, and to see how the rhythm of the church works, is that we are in it together. We have a playbook, and let's work together. And all God's children say, amen. We stand and we confess our faith.